as Law State Baseball is on the air. Let's join the Blue Chip Sports crew live from the press box for all the action of Warriors Baseball on the Blue Chip Sports Radio Network, right here at BlueChipBroadcasting.com.
It looked for all intents and purposes that the Stan State Warriors were going to start the 2026 CCAA season with three straight home losses as they trailed East Bay 8-0 in the second inning in the second game of their doubleheader yesterday. But the Warriors rallied for eight runs in the bottom of the second, fell behind 10-8, and then scored four runs in the bottom of the fifth on just one hit, and then held on for a wild 12-10 victory to split their doubleheader and give themselves a chance for a series split this afternoon. They will hand the ball to Zach Geis, who needs to bounce back after struggling mightily so far this season. He will be opposed by the freshman phenom for the Pioneers, Jackson Macadara, who has been outstanding in his first three starts for East Bay. It is another beautiful day for baseball as the Warriors and Pioneers wrap up the first series of conference play. Warrior Baseball starts now.
Whatever your game, whatever your level, Played Against Sports has you covered. From the field to the court and every fitness or recreational pursuit in between, our selection of both new and quality used sports equipment means you're always ready for the next challenge. Outgrow your gear, bring it in. Trade up or cash out. It's all about keeping you in the game. Reuse, recycle, replay. Visit Played Against Sports on McHenry Avenue in Modesto today.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Stanislaus State University here in Turlock, California, and Warrior Baseball Field, where today we will wrap up the first CCAA series of the 2026 conference season as the Stanislaus State Warriors will take on the East Bay Pioneers. Joining me here in the David Gomes press box, as always on Sunday, former high school coach and player from Cal Baptist, Randy Hopkins. And Randy, thank you so much for joining us here this morning, early afternoon. I don't even know what time it is. I am not a fan of the spring forward an hour. I don't know how you're feeling, but man, I'm feeling a little tired, especially after a full day yesterday.
Well, I'm so old, I didn't even realize it was spring forward. So I'm here to enjoy a ball game. What a great day we have. A little wind blowing from the east to the west. I've never seen it blow that way much, but what a great day for baseball.
Well, it normally blows this when a storm's coming in, but there's no storms coming in. We're supposed to be getting hot here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And so an opportunity for the Warriors who come in 10-10 overall. They are 1-2 in conference. East Bay is now 10-8 overall. They are 2-1 in conference. And an opportunity for East Bay to get a series victory on the road, which is very tough to do in this conference. And for Stanislaus, a very critical game to split this first series at home. Because as we look at the Warriors' schedule, the back end of the conference play is rough. They finish with Chico, Dominguez, and Monterey Bay. That is a rough set of games to play to wrap up the conference season. So for Stanislaus, you've got to find a way to get some wins. When we are with you in a couple of weeks against Pomona, we'll talk a little bit more about the changes. Only 9 teams in the conference this year, so the conference tournament's a little different. You know, kind of that key number you got to get to is a little different, so we'll talk more about that in a couple of weeks. Right now, the Warriors just need to find a way to win games. And really, Randy, you wonder, yesterday's game where they fell behind 8-0, tied it with an 8-run second inning, fell behind again, and then were able to find a way to scratch across 4 runs in the fifth inning. If that maybe allows this team to turn a corner, because they've been really good playing from ahead. But that's the first game I think this year they've won that they maybe should have lost.
Yeah, they need to be consistent with their offense and with their defense, and you know they can score some runs. I mean, just scoring that many runs yesterday, 12 runs in that ball game, they can do it. There's no doubt about it. This pitching is going to be a key today also as well. So I'm hoping Geis comes out and just throws a gem today.
Well, they need him because Geis needs to get it going. He is a guy. He was the CCAA Freshman Pitcher of the Year three years ago. But he has struggled early on this season. It has been a challenge for Geis. He has very rarely pitched deep into ball games. He has really struggled with his control and his command. And when you fall behind, then you have to come down over the middle of the plate, and that's when you get hit hard. And so it is a definite important thing for him. As I just look behind me, and we have a very, very special guest who's making her way into the press box, so I've gotten very distracted. So we'll wrap this up, and then I'm going to go say hello to a longtime friend. So the last thing, Randy, is they've got to play mistake-free baseball. I think that is absolutely critical. They have not played good defense in this series.
You know, we look at years past, we've had some great defensive teams here, but we have some people that are hurt, I understand, also. So you got other guys coming in, taking their spots, so maybe some inexperience in those spots. But, yeah, you have to eliminate those errors, because errors and walks and sport, you know what that turns into? Runs.
Yeah, and we've seen that more than the Warriors would like to in this series. Again, this is an East Bay team. They have scored this year nearly 40 unearned runs in 17 games.
Wow.
So they are a team, if you make mistakes, they are going to take advantage of it. And so it's going to be really important for Stanislas to clean it up. They've made 8 errors in this series thus far. Mm. They cannot have that happen again here this afternoon. If you're East Bay, you got to forget about yesterday. You're already ahead two games to one. You blew an 8-0 lead, and that stings. But now you got your young ace on the mound. You can't worry about what happened yesterday.
Not at all. And this, I don't know much about this kid coming in right now, but I understand he's legit. He's a legit pitcher, so we'll see. Left-handed pitcher coming in, too, so it's going to be kind of tough for our right-handed hitters to see a left-handed hitter coming in.
Now, the one thing that will be different, though, Randy, is that this is going to be his first true road start. His first three starts were all at home, which you're a mound you're familiar with and so forth. Now, this is a great place to pitch and a great mound to pitch on.
Yeah.
But it is different to pitch on the road than it is to pitch at home. So we'll see if that has any impact when you're talking about a young player. And then finally, we have seen throughout this series, and I'm sure we will see again today, East Bay being patient and playing with purpose at the plate. They have been very tough. And against a guy like guys who can struggle with his command, I would expect them to do that again this afternoon.
Yeah. Hopefully, the same for Stanislas. They can be patient at the plate as well. So I'm here to see a great game today.
Well, and I think we look at it too, Randy. The idea with a guy like Makadar is make him throw pitches. Don't let him get quick, easy innings. Because if he gets quick and easy innings, that becomes problematic because it allows him to go deep into ball games. He's pitched at least 5 innings in every single game that he has pitched thus far. The only way you avoid that is by making him get a high pitch count early in the ballgame. East Bay's had to use a lot of bullpen guys in this series. Their starters went 4 innings. They got 5 1/3 out of Ellis in game 1, which is huge. But Zirkle only got an inning and a third in second game. And the same thing for Stanislas' bullpen. Rocco Grollo only went 1 inning yesterday in his start. So both bullpens have been taxed. It is going to be real important for both of these starting pitchers to give some length. Well, it was a wild day yesterday at Warrior Baseball Field as we were reminded of why we love this game so much. A 2-1 pitcher's duel in game 1 with solid pitching and great defense, followed by a 12-10, nearly 3-hour, 7-inning game in the nightcap. Earlier this morning, I talked with Coach Ken Leonesio to get his thoughts on the crazy day at the ballpark, his team's ability to come back from a big early deficit in game 2, and how important it is for his club that Zach Geis gives them some length today in his start. It's the Coach Kenny Show, sponsored by Crivelli Insurance.
Life is getting more complicated, especially for those at or over the age of 65. If you hadn't heard, big changes are coming to Medicare in 2025. And Lori Crivelli and her team at Crivelli Insurance take the guesswork and fear out of applying for Medicare supplemental insurance. In business since 1993, Lori and her staff have a process in place to provide the best information and support for those seeking a Medicare insurance supplement. Crivelli Insurance also provides full insurance services for auto, home, farm, business, workers' comp, and even life insurance. To set up an appointment, please give them a call at 209-668-3319. That's 209-668-3319. Or you can reach them on the web at crivelliinsurance.com. Crivelli Insurance, working tirelessly to help you make the best Medicare insurance decision for both you and the ones you love.
It's time for the Coach Kenny Show, brought to you by Crivelli Insurance, here with baseball coach Kenny Leonesio. And Ken, yesterday, a great example of why baseball is such a great game. Game 1, pitcher's duel, great defense. And game 2 was, I'll let you describe game 2.
Yeah, it's a great game or a frustrating game. Depends on how you're looking at it. The first game we lose 2-1 and give up 2 runs that we shouldn't have given up. And, it's kind of been, biting us here a little bit. And then, that second game, get off to a really rough start. But then, you know, it was great to be able to bounce back and, you know, show some fight and, you know, tying that thing up, after being down 8-0 was obviously huge. And guys, you know, just kind of kept fighting. We didn't pitch extremely well, but pitched, you know, well enough to figure a way to get some outs. And so it was, you got to have those type of wins, if you're ever going to do anything. And that was a big win for us.
That second inning was so bizarre. 23 batters come to the plate, 13 runs scored, 5 pitchers, and not a ton of hits by either team in that inning. Do you remember an inning that strange? It's probably been a long time since you've had one that bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know if that was just kind of sloppy on both teams. And, you know, when you're hitting that many guys and, you know, free bases and then, you know, a hit will score a bunch of runs. And, it was sloppy baseball, like I said, but, you know, it was good that we were able to kind of just fight through it. Especially after, you know, a couple of tough games there. It just showed a lot for us.
And, to finish off, Pierce Taylor strikes out the side and the top of the seventh inning of the 7-inning game. Just again, another solid performance from him. He's been pretty consistent out of the pen. I think you got to be really pleased with what you've seen from Pierce thus far.
Yeah, he's a great competitor. You know, and when he's throwing strikes like that, then, he can be difficult. And, it was great to see him, and we really needed him to come in and, you know, close out the game for us.
And finally, fourth game in 3 days, Zach Geist to get the ball. What do you hope to see from Zach today to know that he's in a good spot and can give you some length today? Cause you know, you do have some bullpen guys, but you've used a lot of arms out of that pen in the first 3 games.
Yeah. You know, playing 4 games is tough. It's tough on the pitching. And you know, it's important that Geist goes out and just pounds his own. I know that I'd say that pretty much about every guy, but it's just really important for him. You know, it's got to eliminate the freebies. And, if he goes out and does that, he has good enough stuff, obviously, and has done it in the past, to go out and give us the innings we need and keep us right there and give us a chance to win.
Thanks so much, Kenny. Good luck today. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
We'll come back. We'll have starting lineups in the first pitch right after this.
Timmy, eat your dinner.
No, it's yucky and I don't like it.
I'd rather have chicken nuggets. You need something healthier than chicken nuggets. It's time to introduce you to something more sophisticated. By Katana Sushi.
What is Katana Sushi?
Katana Sushi Bar. They have a wide variety of authentic Japanese cuisine, like edamame, shrimp tempura, and delicious dinner options. Located right across from Stanislaus State University at 170 West Monte Vista Avenue, you can dine in, take out, or use a delivery service. It is open daily from 12 to 9 p.m.
Thanks, Mom. Going to Katana Sushi is like taking your mouth on a vacation.
Welcome back to Warrior Baseball Field, as we were very pleasantly surprised as one of our former special interns, Chelsea Barry Leonasio, popped in, Kenny's daughter-in-law, and her husband, Ryan, former Stan State all-conference second baseman, popped in and said hi. Did not know they were coming.
Yeah.
Yes, Kenny's wife, Carrie, kept that from me yesterday when I was talking to her. So that was a real treat. And so we apologize. Him. Hopefully it didn't get too complicated there. We're going to give the starting lineups real quick because we're waiting for the teams to take the field. Leading off for the East Bay Pioneers will be the center fielder, Dominic Nahar. Batting second, the DH, Logan Stelling. Out in left field hitting third, Gio Martini. The cleanup hitter, shortstop, Elijah Ramos. Batting fifth, over at first base, Dylan Unangst. At third base, hitting sixth, is Caleb Chance. Batting seventh, the right fielder, Mark DiCarlo Jr. Hitting eighth, the catcher, Carson Kripe. And second base, batting ninth, Micah Cervantes. And the starting pitcher will be Jackson McAdar. We're going to take a short break while they do the national anthem. We'll be back in about 90 seconds.
For the past 5 years, Price Ford of Turlock has been a steady supporter of our local programs and schools. They contribute to Stan State Athletics and many organizations throughout our area. Each year, they provide FFA scholarships to students from Turlock, Pittman, and Denair High Schools. And you'll even see them buying animals every year at the fair, supporting kids from across the county. We appreciate the team at Price Ford of Turlock for their continued involvement and the way they show up for our community. To learn more, visit pricefordofturlock.com.
At KW Recovery Lab, we're redefining what recovery looks like. Our dedicated specialists work with you to create a personalized plan, helping you recover faster and feel your best. Whether it's a chill in our cryotherapy chamber, soothing heat in the infrared sauna, a refreshing plunge in the cold tub, or a one-on-one session with our certified athletic trainers, we've got you covered. At KW Recovery Lab, we're here to turn customers into family, strangers into friends, and individuals into community. Visit us at kwrecoverylab.com or call 209-250-2555 to book your appointment today. KW Recovery Lab, your local wellness center, pioneering self-managed healthcare.
Oh, Sunday version of the national anthem. Randy, I was talking to Mike Stucker about this last or a couple weekends ago, and with the Olympics going on, the World Baseball Classic going on, the national anthem, and now with unfortunately what is going on around our world right now, the national anthem has a little different feeling. You get a little bit of little goosebumps as you listen to that. Yeah. If you really start thinking about what it all means.
That's right. That's right.
Now it's time for the starting lineups, or the Stan State Warriors. Leading off will be the center fielder AJ Carter, batting second in left field Mason Kelly. In right field is Mason Kelly. Over at first base, hitting third is Chris Ortiz. The designated hitter batting cleanup is Tyler Crudo. Batting fifth, second baseman Zach Lewis. In left field, hitting sixth is Corey Likens. Behind the plate, hitting seventh is Eric Perez. Batting eighth, third baseman Jacob Reyes. And batting ninth, the shortstop Jacob Harrison. On the mound will be the right-hander Zach Geis. For Geis, it has been a year that has not gone the way that I think he had hoped, as Zach has really struggled as of late. He did not pitch last weekend in the series against Chico State in the non-conference games. For Geis, this will be his fifth start of the year. He is 0-2 with an 8.36 ERA. In 14 innings, he has given up 16 hits, 16 runs, 13 of them earned. He has walked 8. He has struck out 9. He has hit 4 batters. An opponent's rating 281 against him, and he has got to be in the strike zone. This is a guy who's got great stuff, but sometimes guys that have great stuff, they get hit once in a while, they start to be a little too fine, and then they get themselves in trouble.
Well, let's hope this is a breakthrough for Geis today, and he comes through, and it's something it's going to continue on for the rest of the year.
Well, he becomes a really critical piece, because the Warriors have gotten, for the most part, other than Garola's start yesterday, and Ballantyne's start in Chico last weekend, they have had really consistent starts from their first three guys in the rotation. Ballantyne, Hawkinson, and Garola have been very solid and very consistent. Geis is the one guy who has not pitched to the level that they would expect. Yeah. And so they're hoping today is a chance for, talk about the Warriors turning a corner. They need Geis to turn a corner here today. Well, Dominic Nahar is going to step to the plate, and we're about ready to get this game started. Our umpires, it'll be Pearson Tahuka Nunez will be behind the plate. He has been busy. We have had a lot of replay reviews, Randy. I think we've had probably about 7 or 8 this weekend, so he's been busy. Over at first base is Mike Green, and at third base is Nicholas Webb. And we are about ready to get this game started. Geis, who pitches from the stretch, his first pitch to Nahar is a fastball in there for a strike, and we get started at 12:03. Not bad, considering it really is, my body says it's 11:03.
Exactly.
And today wasn't as bad. It's tomorrow when I got to go to work that it becomes really tough. One strike pitch is poured in there for a strike, and quickly Geis out in front 0-2. Nahar hitting 296, a home run, and 11 RBIs. He has been a very, very impressive player in this series. He has done it with the bat, and he has done it with the glove. 0-2 pitch misses a little low, and it's 1-2. Now, Pearson Tahuka Nunez, we saw him Friday night. Lot of call third strikes, more than I had seen in a long time. So we will see if he has that similar type of expanded strike zone with two strikes as we saw here Friday night. Fastball misses outside, and it's 2-2.
So you're saying he's more of a pitcher's umpire than anything else?
He is. And the unique thing, if you watch him, Randy, he sets up way on the inside of the hitter, and he'll move to the other side for left-hand hitters. So you're going to get a lot of width on the inside part of the plate.
Yeah.
2-2 pitches, a changeup swung on and missed as Nahar went out of the strike zone there. And that's how this game gets started, and a nice start for Geis.
Designated hitter, number 12, Logan.
Yeah, he seemed to be very confident. He has only thrown 5 pitches, but they've all been great pitches.
Logan Stelling will be the batter. Stelling, the DH, hitting .382, a home run, and 13 RBIs. He has been an impressive offensive player for the Pioneers. Transfer from the University of Memphis, Tennessee, Division I school, where he pitched. Did not hit. Very interesting. First pitch is poured in there for a strike.
Do they use him as a pitcher at all?
Nope. He has not pitched at all this year.
Wow.
And he did not hit at all at Memphis.
So recruited as a pitcher, but doesn't pitch.
But he can hit. Hitting 382.
Wow.
Slider misses off the plate wide, 1-1.
So this umpire is going to have a hard time seeing that outside pitch.
Yes, I know. That was the challenge, and that's where it got a little inconsistent at times, at least in the eyes of the hitters. Yeah, he's literally lined up with the inside part of the batter's box.
Yeah.
Fastball inside, chop foul by Stelling, and Geis out in front, 1-2. The outfield for Stanislaus, it's Likens, Carter, and Kelly in the outfield left to right. Reyes and Harris on the left side. Lewis and Ortiz on the right side. Eric Perez in the squat catching Zach Geis. 1-2 pitch. Fastball just missed.
Yeah.
Must have been a little high because it was over the outside corner.
It was. It's tough to see. I mean, where he's positioned, it's just tough to see. So it wasn't high. Well,
that's what it had to have been called because it was over the plate. Been.
Yeah.
2-2 the count to Stelling. Guy steals, and a breaking ball is hit up the middle, past the diving Harris into center field for a base hit. Now, Stelling got a slider, got a little too much plate, and he took it right back where it came from. That is the first hit and first base runner of the ball game. And now Gio Martini, the left fielder, hitting 315, three home runs, 15 RBIs. He homered here to dead center last night off of Hernan Luna. I mean, it was a bomb.
This is a big athletic kid right here.
And very talented left-handed swinger.
No wind blowing out anywhere right now. It's pretty.
It is very, very still. It has been still all weekend. First pitch to Geis to the left-hander Martini is pop foul left side out of play. Strike one.
He's a little behind on that pitch, but that pitch was a little outside as well.
You know, you would wonder if Geis maybe has more trouble with lefties than righties, but it's pretty much even. Lefties hitting 278 against him. Righties hitting 282. Mm. Pitch misses outside. Now the Perez drops it. The runner goes, and the throw is going to be not in time, and it'll be a free 90, and that will be a pass ball on Perez. So another free 90 feet given up by Stanislaus.
Yeah, you can't afford to do that kind of thing. Early on a ball game, especially.
Well, I think what happened there is Perez heard that he was going to go, and then Stelling stopped. And in his haste to get the ball out of his glove, he dropped it. And then good recognition by Stelling to take off.
Yeah, good base running.
Change up catches the outside corner. And it's 1-2. And that is what you will see here. So now watch with the left-handed hitter, the home plate umpire. He sets up way on the inside corner for the lefty. Fastball is fouled back as Martini dug one out, a low fastball down and in, and he shot it back to the backstop.
That was a great pitch, too. And there's some velocity on this.
Remember, he was the conference freshman pitcher of the year as a freshman 3 years ago. I mean, he was dominant. Change up, misses outside, and the count is 2-2.
That was a good pitch.
But the one thing in Geis already, a lot of pitches, a lot of deep counts.
Yeah.
This will be the 16th pitch of the inning already, and there's only one out. 2-2 pitch is a changeup, popped up, foul territory, drifting down the left field side. Kelly gets over there, or Likens gets over there, but he will run out of room. And Martini stays alive.
Oh, Martini looks like he's about 6'5", about 200.
No, he's not that. He's not quite that big, but he's put together.
he's an athlete. There's no doubt about it.
6'190", just a sophomore.
Oh my!
Fastball misses outside, and it's 3-2. Now, he's got a very strong lower half. That's where he gets a lot of his power.
Mm-hmm. He's got to come to him now.
Yep. Full count. Runner at second, one out here in the top of the first inning. Changeup is hit out into the air. Left center field hit pretty well. Ball really carrying, chasing after it is Carter. He'll get there, and he will make the catch, I believe. And now he's going to try to score all the way from Second, and the throw is not in time as Perez cannot hang on to the ball. And it'll be a sacrifice fly from second. Now they're going to throw to second base and challenge whether or not Stelling left early. An amazing catch by Carter near the wall in deep left center field. That ball just took off. Hit much better than I thought. They're going to see if he left early. Geis is going to step off and throw to Lewis. He's going to go tag the bag, and they will say that he did not. Nobody made a call.
Nope. I don't understand that.
So, you know, you see something new every day, Randy? Okay, now they're going to try it. And they said he did not leave early. It will be a sacrifice fly from second as Stelling just kept going. And great hustle in Perez. They had him out, but Perez couldn't hang on to the ball.
Yeah, he was out by a bit.
So already something new today. So it's 1-0 East Bay, and the pass ball cost the Warriors. Because he would never have gone anywhere. He'd still been at first base.
Not at all.
So that is the 16th RBI for Martini. And now Elijah Ramos, hitting 278, will bat with two on and nobody out, and pitch misses outside.
Yeah, he had to go all the way to the fence on that catch. That was a great catch, but to score from second base, that's unusual.
Well, I think Carter was kind of, remember, he hurt his wrist a couple of weeks ago, check swing on a pitch that was outside, and they said he went around, and it's 1-2. And you just wonder if Carter maybe took a little inventory there, and you're not expecting a guy to tag from second and try to score.
Not at all. But all of that, they had him out.
Mm-hmm. But East Bay pushing the envelope. Pitch is lined into left field for a base hit. So that was a mistake. That was a 1-2 pitch that got way too much plate.
First baseman, number three, Dylan Unangst.
And now Dylan Unangst, who had a big three-run double here to win the ball game for the Pioneers on Friday night, will bat. He's hitting 295, a home run, 14 RBIs. But you just don't see balls travel that far to left center field during the day.
Took off.
Runner bluffs, does not go, and the pitch misses low, ball one. And again, Perez had a tough time securing that ball in his glove.
Yeah. I mean, it was a perfect bounce. It was a perfect throw. It should have been out.
Geis from the stretch. Fastball at the knees for a strike, and it's 1-1. That is 25 pitches already for Geis here in the first inning, and he's not pitched bad.
No.
But a lot of deep counts.
He's throwing strikes, but I don't think he's fooling anybody right now at this point.
Fastball swung on and missed. That was right down the middle, and Unangs just swung right through it. And it's 1-2. Geis is trying to get in the dugout with only giving up one run. A single, a pass ball, a fly ball to the wall in left center that Stelling scored all the way from second, and then a single by Ramos, runner first, a run in, and Unangs will reach for it and shoot it foul left side out of play to stay alive. You know, the thing we have learned about the East Bay hitters, other than Friday night when there are a lot of called third strikes, they just don't strike out.
They make contact.
They make contact. They make you hit. They make you grind out at bats too. Pitch is hit up the middle, but there's Harris. He's got it. He'll underhand it to Lewis in time to get Ramos. And Geis gets through the first, but not before the Pioneers get a run on a couple of hits, no errors, and a runner left. We're going to head to the bottom of the first. It's the Pioneers 1, the Warriors coming to bat.
For the past 5 years, Price Ford of Turlock has been a steady supporter of our local programs and schools. They contribute to Stan State Athletics and many organizations throughout our area. Each year, they provide FFA scholarships to students from Turlock, Pittman, and Denaire High Schools. And you'll even see them buying animals every year at the fair supporting kids from across the county. We appreciate the team at Price Ford of Turlock for their continued involvement and the way they show up for our community. To learn more, visit pricefordofturlock.com.
Welcome back. It is 1-0 East Bay. As we've been visited by Coach Paul Trevor, men's basketball coach, popping in to say hi here on a beautiful Sunday afternoon.
Yep.
Trev trying to wind down from a very busy season. And so
they had some tough losses.
They did have some tough losses. We won't bring those up while Trev's in here.
No audio. They said they're not here again.
So I will we'll check on that. That's testing, testing, 1, 2. So we will check and see what's going on the radio side. If there is an issue. All right, the audio just disappeared. I don't know what happened because it looks like I'm live. It's showing me that we're live. So Jackson McAdam will be the pitcher. He has been outstanding. He is 2-0 with a complete game and a 1.59 ERA in 17 innings. He's given up 12 hits, 4 runs, 3 of them earned. He's walked 4. He has struck out 18. Opponent's hitting just 190 against him. The 6-foot, 200-pound freshman from Reno.
He's got some stats that are pretty impressive.
Yes, he does. So he'll face Carter, Kelly, and Ortiz, the first three hitters. Pioneers lead 1-0.
Lead 1-0 on an unusual play.
Very unusual. Sacrifice fly from second base. Just so, but this just adds to the. Oh, it's just been that weekend, Randy. It's just been that way.
You don't see that very often at all.
So Carter, the left-hand hitter, who has had a great start to the season, takes the first pitch low, ball one. He missed 6 games. The Warriors went 1-5 in those 6 games.
Wow. So he's pretty instrumental.
He's pretty instrumental. Now they're without Kian Sanchez, which is another huge loss for Stanislaus.
Yeah. Makes it tough.
So Carter moved into the leadoff spot. Left-hand hitter against the lefty, McAdara. I'm going to want to call him McAdam all day, but I know that's not right. Carter going to shoot one the other way into left field for a base hit. They have been overplaying him to the pull side, and he has beat it now 3 different times, and he's got a leadoff single here in the bottom of the first.
That was a nice piece of hitting. Outside pitch, he went with it, and just a nice line drive past the third baseman.
Mason Kelly will be the batter. Kelly hitting 307, 3 home runs, 19 RBIs. As Carson Kribe having an equipment issue.
It's like the straps on the back there are not buckling up correctly on the catcher's gear. Here he's got it taken care of.
I think we're good on the radio. I think it's there's no audio on the video stream. So we're gonna try to figure that out between innings. And see if we can figure out why all of a sudden we have no audio, even though it's looking to me like we have audio. First pitch to Kelly. All right, so the radio is working, but the Flow College is having an issue. And Kelly going to hit a high chopper to short. Ramos has got it. Underhand to second for one. Cervantes' throw to first is in time. That's a 6-4-3 double play. And just like that, there's 2 out and nobody on. And Chris Ortiz will be the batter. Ortiz hitting 174, no home runs, 5 RBIs, but don't let that fool you. He came into this series with 2 hits.
McAdara is a little over-the-top kind of a pitcher, isn't he?
Yep.
Right over the top.
First pitch fastball misses inside. Ball one. Well, you give up a base hit to the lone left-handed hitter in the lineup as a lefty, and you get the slugger to hit a 6-4-3 double play. That's your pitcher's best friend.
That's unfortunate.
Ortiz going to be playing a lot of first base now with the injury to Kian Sanchez. Swings at a pitch that just disappears, and it's 1-1.
So Sanchez's injury, is he out for how long now? Is that a seasonal thing?
4 to 6 weeks at minimum.
Yeah.
And it's got, it's broken wrist, so it's going to take time to heal. And then you got to get back to baseball activities. They hope to get Navarrete Jr. back maybe by Easter. Swung on and missed as he pulled the string again, and it's 1-2. And he's got that fastball changeup combo, and it's got great arm action. And right now, the Warriors not picking that up. 1-0 East Bay here. Bottom of the first inning. East Bay getting their lone run on a sacrifice fly from a runner from second as Ortiz hits one high and foul, right side out of play to stay alive at 1-2.
So Mac Dare doesn't look overpowering, but maybe it's
no, just, but he just, knows. I think he got his feeling. He knows how to pitch. He doesn't walk people.
No, he doesn't. Yeah.
Warriors in their Sunday pinstripes with red numbers outlined black. East Bay in their black with red numbers as Ortiz swings and misses at the changeup. And McAdara gets through the first inning. For the Warriors, no runs, a hit, a double play, and nobody left. We're going to head to inning number two. It's East Bay 1, and Stannis lost nothing.
Life doesn't wait, so why should you? At Modesto Subaru, we've got the adventure-ready lineup that keeps up with you. Daily drives, weekend escapes, or chasing your four-legged co-pilot, Subaru makes every trip more fun. Come experience what's fun, what fits your life, and what's ready today, right here at Modesto Subaru. Because the stories don't start with someday, they start with Subaru. Modesto Subaru, love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Visit us at 4360 McHenry Avenue, Modesto. Call 209-248-0029 or visit us online at modestosubaru.com. Modesto Subaru, adventure starts here.
Well, we apologize to those of you watching on Flow College. For some reason, the audio just disappeared. The bluechipbroadcasting.com feed was fine, but the Flow College feed disappeared. Thank you for those of us here in the stands who have made us aware, because some of those things, we don't know that.
No.
So we appreciate that. Thank you for everybody for watching and listening here on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. It is 1-0 East Bay as we head to the top of the second inning. It'll be Chance, DiCarlo Jr., and Kripe.
So we'll see how Geis handles the bottom of the lineup here. Hopefully it's a 1-2-3, and we're back in here. I didn't do this correctly here.
No, I wrote it down wrong. I got getting busy here, Randy, and I forget too many things, so... So I want to remind you, the Warriors will head on the road next week. They will head down to Cal State LA Friday night, single game, doubleheader Saturday, Sunday afternoon. And the Warriors will be back here in 2 weeks as they will take on Cal Poly Pomona. And Pomona is off to a very strong start.
Where's LA right now? How do they do?
LA is playing Monterey, which is, you know, that's just not a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Especially in Monterey.
Right, exactly.
Pomona has won the first three games against San Bernardino. Monterey has taken two of the first three games from LA. First pitch from Geis to Chance is he squares the bunt and takes a strike.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he was squaring the bunt. Was that a sack?
I think he's just going to try to distract a little bit. No, just distract a little bit.
Okay.
Chance hitting 392, no home runs, 10 RBIs. Swings and hits a fly ball to right, not very deep, coming in as Kelly towards the line. He will get there and he will make the catch for out number one.
I thought that thing was going to drop down in. The same kind of hitting we had the other day.
Yeah, Kelly plays pretty shallow in right field, especially against right-hand hitters. Mark DiCarlo Jr., who was one of the heroes here on Friday night, his RBI single with two outs and two strikes in the top of the ninth inning tied the game. That East Bay went on to win 9-6. He's hitting 295, a home run, 16 RBIs. First pitch is swung and foul back to the screen, strike one. And that back foot looked just fine there. He took a hit by pitch off of the back foot yesterday from Peyton Hawkinson, came out of the game, did not play game two. And so he is back out there in this ball game. That's hard to get hit in the back foot.
How in the world does that happen?
From a lefty. I could see it from a righty on like a, you know, a backdoor back foot slider.
Yeah.
But it was from a left-hander. It was just weird. He kind of got the left foot or the right foot out of the way and caught him in the kind of in the instep ankle area of the left foot. Huh. He fouls it off, and it's 0-2. Fastball misses way outside. 1-2. And we're excited, Randy, that our old pal, the Hall of Famer Eric Davis, will be here for the Pomona service. Eric and I will have the games for you on Friday. Larry will join us for game one on Saturday. And then Mike Stucker and Eric are going to bring you game two Saturday, as I've got a grandson's first birthday party to go to. Those are important.
Important. Yeah.
So I will be missing the ball game for that.
Yeah.
Understandably so.
You want to be the best grandpa you can be.
I try. I got 10, so I got lots of practice.
10.
I have 10. How many you have, Randy?
3.
Well, you're behind.
30 years older than you.
Pitch is swung on and popped up foul territory left side. It will drift out of play. And DeCarlo stays alive once again. So, yeah, it is my oldest son's youngest.
Yeah.
So
your grandchildren go from like 20 years old all the way down to
one.
1 year old.
Mm-hmm.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, we're never bored. In fact, happy birthday to my grandson number 2. And DeCarlo hits one back up the middle, speared by Geis. He will run over towards first, and he'll underhand to Ortiz, and there are two away. Nice job of Geis.
Well, yeah, he had
fielding his position there.
Great reaction to that bit. That ball hit back to you.
Wyatt, my second oldest grandson, turns 13 today. So I told my daughter,
Whoa. She
lost her teenager, turned 20 on Thursday. So she got 3 days with no teenagers, and now she's back at it again for the next 20 years. First pitch almost gets Cripe in the foot.
Yeah.
Ball one. Now she has kids from 1 to 20, so she's got a wide range. So she's going to be doing the teenage thing for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah.
Cripe, who played the first game here Friday night, did not play either game of the doubleheader yesterday, swings and pops one up. Foul territory, left side. Reyes comes over. He battles the sun and he makes the catch right by the Warrior dugout. And a 1-2-3 inning for Zach Geis. Nothing doing for the Pioneers in the second. We'll head to the bottom of inning number 2. It's East Bay 1 and the Warriors nothing.
We're all fascinated by distant places, dreaming of adventures and opportunities.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
But what about the world right outside your door? Welcome to City Direct. As a proud family-owned business, we deliver over 94,000 magazines to mailboxes every month, filled with advertisements for local small businesses, community events, nonprofit organization ads, high school and college sports schedules, and loads of coupons. So why look far away when you can find so much right here at home? Look for us in your mailbox or visit our website at citydirectinc.com to get your copy of Turlock Direct, Modesto Direct, or Oakdale Riverbank Direct, and start your local adventure today. City Direct, connecting local businesses with local buyers right at your doorstep.
1-0 East Bay as we head to the bottom of the second inning. And I was saying, Randy will join us on Sunday the 22nd for the Pinball game. Eric, we'll do a little three-man booth, and then Eric's going to have to head to the airport a little earlier than we'll be done. So I made sure, I was like, hey, but I will pick you up, but I need you to have somebody take you back.
Yeah.
So
it'll be fun to see Eric.
It's going to be fun. Where he was here a couple of months ago for the Hall of Fame inductions, as Eric and I were very honored to be inducted into the Stan State Athletic Hall of Fame.
Super.
And so we'll be excited to have Eric back. I will tell you this, we will have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is no doubt about that.
Yeah. A lot of good interaction for sure.
We'll have a good time. So that's always the weekend before Major League Baseball season starts. So Eric and I will give you all our opinions on Major League Baseball, anybody really cares. But we will do that. So it'll be Crudo, Lewis, and Likens. Tyler Crudo in the cleanup spot in this ballgame, the designated hitter, hitting 306, no home runs, and 9 RBIs. Right-handed hitter. Swings at the first pitch and chops one up the middle and through into center field for a base hit. So for the second consecutive inning, the Warriors get the leadoff man on.
See, the last time I was here, Crudo wasn't even playing. I didn't even know the name. So he's been putting in the lineup.
Yeah, he's been swinging it really well. He's been struggling a little bit at short. He started the year at second. Lewis was at short. Lewis had a tough time at short. Then they put Crudo there. He's struggled a little bit recently defensively. So now Jacob Harris, who's probably the best defensive shortstop they have, not quite the offensive threat, but Warriors have got to be better defensively. First pitch to Zach Lewis, misses low, ball one. Lewis hitting 294, a home run and 9 RBIs. 284.
try to sacrifice him around right now, maybe.
Yeah, they got to play some small ball here, especially the bottom of the lineup because of some injuries, not what it has been. And Lewis is going to hit one foul.
Just barely foul.
Down the first base side. Unangst was holding on Crudo, took a step towards off the bag, and then had to spin back the other way, and that one was foul by no more than a foot. Robert Valdivia, the first base coach, didn't say anything, so.
That thing gets down the line, it's a double, easy double.
Oh, and Crudo's going to score easily because Crudo can fly. So Lewis behind in the count 0-2. And now they will chase Crudo back. Crudo, who's got good speed, can steal a bag if you need him to. Oh, excuse me, it is 1-1, not 0-2.
So McAdara made a pretty good move over, not a great move over there. Well, I wonder if he has a good move.
Well, we'll find out, I have a feeling, at some point. Lewis squares and bunts one up the third baseline. A good bunt coming down to get it his chance. He will throw out Lewis, and on the play, Crudo goes to second. Sacrifice goes 5-3, and the Warriors have the tying run in scoring position for Corey Likens.
Number 12, Corey Likens.
Likens hitting 250, a home run, and six RBIs.
That was a perfect bunt by Lewis right down the third baseline, making the third baseman feel that ball.
And one thing we have seen from Stanislaus, more sacrificing this weekend.
Love it.
More stolen bases this weekend because they, without Sanchez and Navarrete, you don't have the thump in your lineup. You've got to do things differently.
I like it.
So Likens waits. First pitch misses low, ball one. Likens, who was mired in a terrible slump, came into the series 2 for his last 19.
Was he hitting around 250 right now?
Yeah, and he's 1 for 4. But his average was in the 330s, and it dropped all the way to 250. Waits. Breaking ball hangs up high, and it's 2-0. Yeah, First time we've seen McAdara behind a hitter.
Yes. That breaking ball was not a very good breaking ball.
Well, the
broke high.
Well, his mechanics on that, he kind of stood straight up. He didn't follow through, just kind of pushed it.
And he likes to come over the top even with that off-speed pitch.
So if you don't have good mechanics when you throw over the top like that, the ball usually does not go close to where you want it to. 2-0 pitch is a fastball in there for a strike. Likens thought it might be a tiny bit high. And it's 2-1. Cervantes, the second baseman, almost playing a first base style hold of Crudo.
I've never seen that much of that.
And then he'll bounce away as soon as he gets into his motion. Yeah, now he bounces back. Crudo takes off, and Likens slashes one foul down the right field side. A little bit of a unique hit and run there from a runner running from second base.
Yeah.
Now the Warriors tied the ball game yesterday on a double steal, and the catcher threw it into left field. Jacob Harris got up and scored from third on the wild throw.
I like the idea of doing this type of thing, a little hit and run, a little sacrifice. It's great.
Put some pressure on the defense, make them make a mistake. 2-2 the count to Likens, and now they spin around, and he throws the ball almost away, and Cervantes.
But he has to throw the ball because he came off. He didn't step off, did he? He spun off. So he has to throw
it. Well, they said that was actually a pitch clock violation, and the count is 3-2.
Oh.
He took too long to spin around.
They're going to challenge it now? Yeah.
There's been a lot of challenges this weekend. I don't think that's a challengeable call.
Because the clock.
I mean, the guy's got it on his hand. You can see it. We can see the clock straight behind center field, and then there's another one on top of the press box, so everybody can see it.
So that clock expired as he was turning?
Yeah, so you have to make a move either to pick a guy off or to come home before the clock hits zero.
Oh, so it hit zero before he made
it. And they're saying, Nicholas Webb is saying that he did not make the move until the clock hit zero. So it is, well, I'm confused now. Now they're saying, is he saying that it was not a pitch clock violation? So they're going to have a conference. Coach Leonasio trying to figure out what's going on. So it's either 2-2 or 3-2 to Likens. Well, the other thing there is McAdara almost threw it into center field.
Yeah, he did. But if he doesn't throw it, it's a buck because he spun off. He didn't step off, did he?
So what is the count?
He's got to throw. We don't know what's going on. Fox back up.
They said it is 3-2, I believe, is what he said. So it is 3-2. So a full count to Likens. Tony, this has been just, this is what the whole weekend's been like, Randy. It's just been strange.
Oh, my goodness.
Krutoff's lead from second. The 3-2 pitch is swung on and driven to right field, hit pretty well. Going back is DiCarlo Jr. He will get there. He will make the catch. Tagging from second is Crudo. He will dive into third safely. And the Warriors will have the tying run at third with two outs for Eric Perez.
The catcher, number 19, Eric Perez.
Perez hitting 095, a home run and two RBIs. He does have a hit in this series. Snapped an 0 for 13 skid. And so now pressure on Kripe to keep the ball in front of him. With Crudo the runner at third. 1-0 East Bay, bottom of the second inning. And Perez can't hold up on a high fastball, and it's 0-1.
I think it's important that they get this run in here just for confidence right now at this point.
You know, Geis so far has thrown the ball fine through his two innings.
Yeah.
Wind really starting to blow hard out towards the left field corner.
Yeah, you'll see that very often.
Not on a beautiful sunny day. Pitch is rolled to short. Ramos comes in on his off-balance throw. Will be in plenty of time to retire Perez. And for the second consecutive inning, McAdara pitches through a leadoff single. For Stanislaus in the second, no runs, a hit, no errors, a runner left. Head to the third. It's East Bay 1 and the Warriors nothing. This weekend's
Life doesn't wait, so why should you? At Modesto Subaru, we've got the adventure-ready lineup that keeps up with you. Daily drives, weekend escapes, or chasing your four-legged co-pilot, Subaru makes every trip more fun. Come experience what's fun, what fits your life, and what's ready today, right here at Modesto Subaru. Because the stories don't start with someday, they start with Subaru. Modesto Subaru. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Visit us at 4360 McHenry Avenue, Modesto. Call 209-248-0029 or visit us online at modestosubaru.com. Modesto Subaru. Adventure starts here.
Welcome back to Warrior Baseball Fit, and we are excited to introduce, probably fairly publicly for the first time, the newest women's soccer coach here at Stanislaus State, Mr. Adam James. And Adam, congratulations and welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here and excited to get things going.
Got his Stan State garb on and looking sharp. And so, Adam, you come from Azusa Pacific. You're assistant coach there last year, ball club that had a really, really good year. Tell us a little bit about your path to get to Stanislaus State, and then we'll ask you a little bit about your philosophy and style of play. I'll be honest, I am not a soccer aficionado, so you can just make me sound smart, okay?
No, you got it. So originally from Kansas City, came out to California about 4 years ago. I was playing soccer and coaching. Got connected at Cal State San Bernardino, actually.
Okay.
Went over to Azusa Pacific and then was there for about 3 years and found my way to Stanislaus State, and I couldn't be happier.
Micah Cervantes lead it off for the Pioneers. Cervantes hitting 171, no home runs, six RBIs. First pitch from Geis to Cervantes is a fastball for a strike. And so as you come up here to take over a program that is well-known, I mean, Greg Bolton has done a phenomenal job with this program for many, many years. What are you looking forward to the most?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a tradition here, but I'm excited to, you know, continue to compete on the national level and pour into these girls and pour into the community that we have here in Turlock and be able to, you know, represent things well.
Fastball taken for a strike, and it's 0-2. Cervantes, the number 9 hitter, we'll go back to the top of the order, Nahar and Stelling. Cervantes, left-handed hitter. 0-2 pitch from Geis is reached for and poked foul down the third base side. He'll stay at 0-2. Have you had a chance to meet a lot of the players? And this is tough because this is heavy recruiting time and there's changes. How does that work for you guys?
Yeah, I've got to meet the girls. They've been amazing. They've been super responsive to everything. We had our first week last week and they've just been, they've been very welcoming and made me feel at home. So I appreciate that.
0-2 pitch is rolled foul again, and Cervantes stays alive.
Yeah, and as we get recruiting going, obviously, you're thrown into the fire, but it's okay. We can keep things going and, you know, jump right into it and keep things moving as if, you know.
Do you have a lot of girls coming back next year?
Yeah, we have actually currently on the roster, we have about 24 girls or 22 girls for the spring right now. So we have a good amount coming in, and then we have six recruits coming for incoming in the fall.
That's awesome. Cervantes again fouls one off, this time down the left field side. Guy made a nice play down in the little picnic area there, reached out and barehanded it. Getting some love from the Stanislaus dugout. And it's still 0-2. Cervantes battling here. Guy's throws. Fastball just off the plate wide, 1-2. So you are not new to the CCAA with your experience at Cal State San Bernardino. It is a tough conference. It is growing as Fresno Pacific and Menlo coming in. What has been your experience with the CCAA as far as just how you've gotten to know it over your couple of years at San Bern?
Yeah, obviously super high level competitive conference, known nationally recognized. I think there's opportunity here to be able to compete on the national level and be able to compete amongst others that have the same aspirations. And what else do you want? You want to play against the best. So have an opportunity to do that is what I'm excited about.
And then CCAA considered one of the best Division II conferences in the country. 2-2 pitch to Cervantes is a fastball called strike three. Cervantes can't believe it. And Geis has his second strikeout. One away, back to the top of the order, and Dominic Nahar, who struck out swinging his first time up. So how would you describe the style of play that you typically want to implore with your team?
Yeah, I love that question. We're going to be a very aggressive team. We're going to go at people. We're going to make sure that everything we do is about the ball. So when we have the ball, we want to keep the ball. But when we don't have the ball, you're going to see us hunt that ball down and make sure we go get it back and try to control the game in certain areas of the field and keep the ball in the opposition's half. So that's kind of what you can expect from us, aggressive, fast-paced, mobile, and flexible type of game.
First pitch to Nahar misses outside with a slider. 1-0 pitch, swung it and rolled to third. And it's going to be a fair ball as it gets past Reyes down the left field line, and Nahar can fly. Hits the fence, the short fence there that sticks out. And Nahar will cruise into second base with a one-out double that just eluded the outstretched glove of Reyes. And the Pioneers have runner in scoring position with one out for Logan Stelling, who singled and scored in the first.
Designated hitter, number 12, Logan Stelling.
So are you a team that a lot of attack, maybe a little bit more of an offensive style, or do you guys focus also defensively? How do you work that in between with that aggressive style of play?
Yeah, you're going to see us control the game. Obviously, we want to make sure we take care of the ball. So when we lose the ball, to go off of that, we want to make sure that we're counter-pressing. So we're going to lose the ball, and we're going to squeeze and swarm right away. We're a team that's never going to sit back. We're going to be up and pressing people pretty high and hard and create good goal-scoring opportunities from our defense. When the ball transition, try to get the goal quickly. So you'll see a lot of fast-paced mindset from us.
Stelling shoots the first pitch foul as a pickoff play, and Lewis sneaking in behind Nahar. Nahar dives back in safely. So as you look at your group, do you look for in your recruits speed or strength or a combination? How does that typically work as the 0-1 pitch is in the dirt, 1-1?
Yeah, great question. Athletically, what we're looking for from our recruits is, one, you have to be a mobile player, so you have to be able to make repeated sprinting actions over and over again. And then also you have to be flexible. Just because you play a position doesn't mean that you're going to be stuck in that position. You're going to be moving all around within the system I play.
Another pickoff attempt, and Nahar just gets back ahead of the tag by Lewis.
So yeah, mobility and flexibility are most important things when I'm looking at a player to recruit from an athletic standpoint.
Now, do you use a lot of your, and I'm going to forgive my poor analysis, but outside strikers, fastball misses outside, 2-1.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to use those girls. We want to isolate them wide and go 1v1, try to get to goal, create good goal scoring opportunities. We're also going to try to create overloads in those types of areas to, you know, outnumber the opposition and get good looks at goal from there for sure.
2-1 the count to Stelling. Nahar, the runner at second. 1-0 East Bay. Stelling reaches for one and chops it foul towards the Warrior on deck circle, and it's 2-2. So when you look at like your middle forward, I always consider that like the quarterback of the soccer, at least the little I know. Is that a person that you're going to want to be your best athlete? Is that someone you're going to look to try to score, maybe set up your strikers? How does that typically work into what you guys want to do?
Yeah. So for my center forward, I want someone that can hold the ball and protect the ball well. If we're in trouble, we could play the ball into her.
Ground ball to third. Reyes has got it. He looks back Nahar, and he throws out Stelling, and there are two away.
But yeah, my center forward needs to be able to hold the ball. If we're in trouble, someone that we can put the ball to, and she can protect it, and then be able to go 1v1 even with the center backs and create for others around her. And then if you're going to be a center forward, you have to have a mindset for goals. So that's important for that type of player up there.
Gio Martini, who hit a sacrifice fly with scoring the runner from second in the first inning. You don't see that every day. Martini, left-handed hitter with Nahar at second. First pitch is a slider, misses inside and high, ball one. Now, when we look at your defenders, do you want more of those strong physical defenders, or do you want them to be able to have agility and mobility to be able to keep up with the other team's top offensive players?
Yeah, so as we mentioned, we're going to press super high. So what does that mean? That means there's going to be...
Nahar goes, the pitch is outside. The throw to third is going to be wide. It wouldn't have mattered. Nahar steals the base easily.
We're going back to that. It means there's going to be space in behind us. So we have to have mobile players that are going to be able to... If you're in the back line, a defender, you have to be able to recover into those spaces. So that's going to be important for us. Also, having a goalie that can do the same thing as well is important to come off our line.
Yeah, I was going to ask about your goalie. If you want an aggressive goalie or one who's just going to kind of sit back and take care of what needs to be taken care of.
Yeah,
pitch to Martini, sits up high.
Yeah, I got to have a goalie that can come off our line and be able to sweep almost sweeper-keeper type style. And then be able to play with their feet is important. Someone that can control the ball and help us build out and be an integral part of that.
For Nahar, that was his 11th stolen base. It's 3-0, the count to Martini. Fastball misses outside, and you got the sense there, Geis really was not interested in giving Martini anything to hit. He hit one yesterday, Adam, out dead center.
Oh, okay.
Easily.
Yeah, that's impressive.
He's got some power.
Yeah.
So that is the first walk given up by Geis. But that's what we call the old unintentional, intentional walk. Now, are there any other sports, Adam, that you enjoyed that maybe you played in high school? Or, as I know, obviously you were an outstanding high school, collegiate, and professional soccer player. Was anything else you played, or were you pretty much a soccer guy?
Yeah, I played a little bit of baseball growing up, and then I love basketball. Played some of that, but I've recently, in the past years, gotten into golf a lot and been a big golfer. So that's
You're going to fit in great in this staff.
I know, right? That's what I've heard. So when I first came on in my interview, they're asking me what my handicap was. So
Because we have the Carter Nelson Memorial Golf Tournament in October, and everybody fights for that fourth spot.
Okay,
to participate.
Yeah, I would love that.
The 0-1 pitch, a check swing. The only problem is it's on a Friday in October, and usually you guys are playing. That's the bummer.
Fall season is tough, especially on a Friday in October.
1-1 the count to Ramos. But you guys have to just maybe even just come out just for fun.
Yeah. Come out in the morning, play a couple rounds.
So we have a good time there. Raise a lot of money for Jessica.